harsh words that Jesus has about the scribes and Pharisees in today's gospel. Yet the first thing we notice as we listen closely to this discourse is that Jesus' audience, as he's speaking, is not made up of scribes and Pharisees, but rather he's speaking to the crowds of his followers and to those disciples who have been with him more intimately over the course of his ministry. St. Matthew, as he's writing this to the early Christian community composing this gospel, knew that he was writing not just to put down scribes and Pharisees, but to get the attention of Christians, of those people gathered together then around Jesus, as we're gathered together now around Jesus. And perhaps Matthew noticed that in the early church, as the institutional of the life of the church was starting to take shape, there was that pull to get back into some of those same tendencies that Jesus condemned in the way the scribes and Pharisees lived out their faith and their leadership. And so these critiques that Jesus offers to the scribes and Pharisees are very much relevant for us today as a community of believers, to be on guard so as to not imitate those things that Jesus condemned in them. And he gives two very related critiques in today's gospel. The one is that they teach correctly. They have that teaching authority. They're on the chair of Moses. But they do not practice what they preach. What they say is true, but there's not a corresponding action in their lives. And the second critique is that it seems to be all a simulation. Their religiosity is all for show. The things that they do, those pious gestures, are just to be praised by men and women, rather than being an authentic expression of their hearts. Now, these critiques come together to form that famous hypocrisy that we know, if you listen to the Gospels, Jesus has very little patience for hypocrisy in the life of believers. Now, he has infinite patience for our weaknesses, for the fact that we're fragile and sinners, infinite patience and mercy on us for those shortcomings, but very little patience for our hypocrisy when our religion becomes just a show. Now, the scribes and Pharisees in today's gospel, they are relying on titles and exterior signs to give them a certain authority and respect in the community, that authority that's no longer commanded by their actions, no longer deserved by the way they're living. It's in this context that Jesus says, "Call no one on earth your teacher, no one your father, no one your master or guide." He's pointing out that we are not to look for those roles as places of prestige, as places of putting ourselves above others, positions of honor to have authority. And so I would say he's not giving us an across-the-board prohibition from using these titles. We know we have teachers on earth. We have biological fathers on earth. We have, hopefully, spiritual fathers on earth. But what Jesus is underlining here is that in this community of believers, we are all on the same level as brothers and sisters of our one Father in heaven. We have one ultimate teacher and guide, who is Jesus. Even those who have positions of responsibility and leadership in a family, in a church, even those are co-disciples with everyone else, following our one master. Even those in positions of authority are children of the one Heavenly Father. Now, the church that we live in and that we are, as we try to reflect in a visible way God's invisible presence, while we're on this earth, this church necessarily has a structure, just like our bodies necessarily have a structure, a skeleton, those firm parts that hold it in place and give it definition. Yet what today's gospel makes clear is that any authority in the church or any authority that Christians take on in society is to be lived as service, not as a way of seeking prestige. And it's legitimate insofar as it's truly at the service of the community. And so these things that we do as Catholics, you know, we listen to this reading today. I listen to it as a priest. And Jesus says, call no one on earth your father. And it makes us wonder, well, why do we call priests father? Why do I call my dad father? Some of you are teachers and catechists. Why do people call you teacher? And so it's legitimate to use this terminology to have these roles when it's an expression of the diversity of gifts and ways of serving within the church. On the condition that the person who's in this role isn't obscuring the fact that we have one Heavenly Father and that we have one Heavenly Teacher. St. Augustine formulates this well. He said, for you I am a bishop, with you I am a Christian. Now the longer quote is, what I am for you, a bishop, frightens me. What I am with you encourages me. Now this is a healthy understanding of Christian leadership. Teachers, those with certain positions and roles. Each of us has a certain role and responsibility within this body of Christ. But it's never to be sought for prestige or for power. Just like St. Augustine, each of us could say, for you, I am a father, a mother, a musician, a missionary, a teacher, etc., etc. For you, I am this. With you, I am a Christian. We know from history, we know from our own experience and our own fragility that it's difficult to live this life as a Christian, this life of a church, and to resist that worldly pull that wants to make us resemble just any other group of people, just any other way of living, just any other institution. And so Jesus is constantly exhorting us to recenter on that which is to make us different as followers of Christ. We heard in today's gospel, the greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The greatest among you must be your servant. This is the Christian authenticity that we are called to rediscover, that we're called to live, each of us, in our own circumstances. Jesus criticized the Pharisees because they were claiming a certain authority and respect that didn't come from their action, from their way of living their faith. The church in today's world is no longer in a position to claim authority, to claim respect. If our behavior as Christians, if our life as Christians, doesn't correspond to this word that we preach, we're no longer in a position where we can rest on our laurels and expect the world to give us the benefit of the doubt or to listen to what the church has to say. And so Jesus calls us back to that authenticity of living by the gospel. Now we may lament this. We may say, oh, the world doesn't listen to the church anymore. But it's also freeing. It puts us in a position of humility. And it gives us the opportunity to verify that this word we have received and this word we offer to the world is true. The greatest among you must be your servant. St. Paul, from whom we heard in today's second reading, was a good example of this. He knew what it was to have that disarmed beauty of the Word of God. He's often depicted with a sword. If you see St. Paul in statues and paintings, he's a pretty tough-looking guy with a big sword, but we know that that sword is not one of violence. It's not one of oppression or aggression, but it symbolizes that Word of God that we're told in Scripture penetrates more deeply into the human person than anything else. It gets into that space between bones and marrow, and it changes our hearts. And humbly, it changes the world. St. Paul said today, you received not a human word, but as it truly is, the Word of God, which is now at work in you who believe. Each of us has received this Word of God. This Word of God that tells us to be great we must look for ways to serve others, humble ourselves, and be at service of the community. We've received this word. It's now at work within us. Let us renew that space in our hearts that we give to this word. Let it do its humble work and get about our humble work in the world. And to close with just a couple of words on vocation, on how to live out this call of the gospel in our lives. This weekend begins the week of National Vocations Awareness Week. So many of you may be aware that the church has something of a vocation shortage with priests and religious people to serve in those particular ministries. I'm very much aware of this shortage when my fellow priests and I get called around the diocese to cover different things because we don't have people to fill in. And so the church gives us this week as a time to raise our awareness of a vocation. This fact that God calls each of us to live out the gospel, to be at the service of others in a way that corresponds with our gifts and who we are. If you're a young person, if you ever thought about maybe, just maybe, the possibility of being a priest or religious, let this week be a time where you increase your awareness of what God is calling you to do in your life. Just give His word a little more space this week. Or, if you know someone that you think, well, you know, that person might be a good priest or sister or brother, mention it to them. It doesn't hurt to ask if they've ever thought about it. Sometimes we need someone else to call those gifts out of us before we recognize them ourselves or before we have the courage to speak up. And so this week of vocation awareness, certainly not limited just to priests and brothers and sisters in a religious sense, but each of us. It's a time for us to become more aware of our vocation, our call, to live out this gospel that would tell the world that to be great, we must humble ourselves. So even for those of us who are already in our vocation, have already made that definitive choice, whether it's marriage, priesthood, some lay apostolate, and many different options, this is a time to renew our sense that God has called us here and He's given us everything we need to live this life fruitfully. For one another, we carry out these roles. With one another, we are Christians. Let us encourage each other along the way.